My name is Michelle O'Woon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is 31st of August 2009. The time is now 4:29 a.m. Can you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
My name's Lynn Scotton. I'm 50 and I come from Northampton.
How are you feeling?
All right, a bit apprehensive, but not too bad. Surprisingly less nervous than I thought I would be.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you apprehensive about, do you think? Anything in particular?
I suppose I thought there might be more people around, but this time in the morning, it's obviously not so bad. I don't think I'd be very good if there was a big crowd or anything like that, but I think I drew quite a quiet spot. and plus with it being half in darkness, that seems like protection as well. So yeah, I'm a bit of a coward.
Can you remember how you first heard about the project?
Now, I think it could have been the online edition of Guardian, in the arts section there. I'm sure it was online anyway, and I just thought, oh, I can do that. I mean, I've got this sort of, although I say I'm a coward and things like that, I do have a streak of bravado. Like I've sat on the handlebars on a bike going around the wall of death and things like that, you know. But I'm quite shy, really.
How do the two sit together?
I don't know if one is making up for the other, you know, by going the other way, you kind of compensate, whether it's something like that, I don't know. But
a bike, something that you feel confident with?
Yeah, I mean, and I haven't got a car licence because cars, I feel less secure in a car because I can't see all the way around it, and a bike seems to be more manoeuvrable. You can get out of trouble. So I suppose, like most people, I'm contradictions all the time.
Have you always been like that, do you think? This bravado side?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been fairly quiet, but I've had sort of strong opinions on things, or strong, you know, if I really get into something, I really do it, you know. I'm a bit of a black and white person, I suppose. All or nothing, you know, like the wall of death, or, ooh, I don't want to go out today.
When was the wall of death? What happened? How did that come about?
Oh, there used to be a big bike show called the Kent Custom Show. This was down, the year I went and this event happened was 1995, I even remember it. And I think, you know, you go into the tent where the wall of death thing is, and I was there with my boyfriend and several other couples, and someone said, oh, Lynn will do it, or my girlfriend will do it, I was thinking that I wouldn't do it, and it was just like, oh, okay then, called their bluff sort of thing, and ended up doing it. And then one of the other girlfriends did it as well, and there was these blokes sort of like, ooh, you know, because we were saying, oh, well, are you going to do it? And it's like, oh, we're too big, we can't do it.
How did you feel?
It was, what, the wall of death thing? Oh, well, it does make you dizzy, but I asked the blokes afterwards, I said, how fast were we going, you know? I said, oh, only about 40 miles an hour. And it feels like you're going really fast. And you think, well, how can they, with the centrifugal force, how can they actually stick to the wall at only 40 miles an hour? But obviously it works, I suppose, because it's quite a small circuit. But yeah, so, and someone actually did take pictures, which I've still got, but I can't find them at the minute.
Did you
So, and one of the things was in the pitch, one of the pictures, you're sort of sat there and the chap riding it says, lean back against my shoulder. I suppose it's to stop you flapping around all over the place. And then in one of the pictures, he's got his arms off. So, you know, there's no one steering it. But of course you can't see that because you're looking forward. It's like, oh my God. So yeah, so I suppose the plinth, just standing on a plinth is nothing really.
Why did you want to take part in this project? What was it that appealed to you?
I suppose it was the a big project, and you didn't have to actually have any qualifications or anything to do it. The fact that it was just going to be ordinary people, you weren't going to have some selection process other than being picked at random. You know, you weren't going to have to write an essay or anything like that. It was just purely random. And I thought, yeah, I suppose that was the appeal of it, because everyone else was going to be random as well. You weren't going to be sort of competing against people or anything like that.
Tell me more about your interest in bikes, because we mentioned that before the interview started.
I suppose it's something I started riding when I was 16, when I legally could. And I always wondered where the interest had come from, because I suppose that this would have been back in 76 and women were not very common on bikes then. And I'd always wondered where my interest came from. And then we had a family meal years later, and it turned out my uncle had been into bikes. So whether it had been in my blood, and I don't know, because he had a British Racing Green, I think it was an MGB GT or something, and I remember sitting in the back of that, you know, soft top, being in the wind sort of thing when I was a kid. And I suppose it's similar to be on a bike. And I've always liked mechanical things. And I suppose it just, I suppose it's a lot of the interests, you know, where do they come from? You know, why do you like green instead of blue? Or, you know, it's a bit difficult to put your finger on it, but I would say it comes from my uncle.
Have you got a bike now?
Yeah. I got Harley, which I've done a lot of customising on, but I actually used to have old British bikes. And people, there's snobbery both ways with Harleys. People either love them or hate them. But I will say to people, because I'm only 5 feet tall, I can't ride a lot of other bikes. I just can't touch the floor. So it was like the ideal bike for me.
Is that the first Harley you've had?
No, I had another one before that, which I only sold this year. I had that for 14 years, and this one I've had for 9. And I've had another couple in addition to those.
They're very different to drive from other bikes.
Well, they're an old-fashioned motor, so they're kind of slower. Don't rev as don't really scream like the Japanese bikes, just a different style of engine. They're a lot heavier, I suppose.
You got the 8-pound handlebars?
No, mine are quite flat, actually. Can you imagine me? I've had to customise it to make it fit me. But I suppose that's what I like, you know, personalising it. And
do Do you like tinkering about with it?
Yeah, I mean, although I actually, when I left school, went to art college, but I then went back and studied and did qualified as a bike mechanic. So I left art college in 81 or 82, I think, and then I went back to tech and did my bike mechanics in 92. So yeah, 10 years later. But I suppose it's kind of all the same, you know. I mean, I don't see why. I suppose, would you be called an artisan? I don't know. There's something really satisfying about putting an engine back together or doing a bit of metalwork, which I'm sure a sculptor or someone gets from what they're doing. And I actually found the mechanic doing something like that more satisfying than when I was at art college. I wasn't very good. I didn't find a niche or anything. I was just a bit confused, and a lot of people continue and don't really realise that they're not very good, but I realised. So,
are you working in the arts now?
No, I used to, I mean, I toured with bands as a lighting tech, but I mean, that's the sort of behind the scenes job, you know. I did a little bit of designing, but again, I was nothing. I could flash lights in time, and you know, I did try and do the best job that I could. But I've never been one of these people who is really innovator or anything like that. But I was always more of a jack of all trades with that.
What's important in your life, would you say, at the moment?
Well, of all things, I belong to a motorcycle club in America. Bit difficult to get to meetings, but I suppose when I first started riding, you used to read American bike magazines, you know, California, all that sort of thing, and so now I belong to a bike club in California.
You've been to California?
So I try to get over there as often as I can. But I suppose that has been the big thing over the last couple of years. So I suppose that's my main thing at the moment. Just need to talk one of them into marrying me so I can stay over there.
Would you like to live there?
I like riding a bike over there and the bike scene. It's just much more conducive to bike riding, but a lot of America, it sort of drives you mad. You know, a lot of people's attitude to politics and this, that and the other isn't my idea, so I don't know whether living over there permanently you'd just tear your hair out. I don't know.
How are you going to spend your time on the plinth?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for people, I'm not going to be doing anything at all, really. I'm just going to stand there and sort of be me, I suppose. Not that people can really see that from down below or whatever. But I suppose that is the thing with the plinth. They were made to display big sculptures. I mean, some people have managed to breach the gap between the plinth and people looking at the plinth, but I suppose I thought other people can do that better than me. I'm not even going to attempt it, which I suppose is a bit pathetic, but I thought the project is kind of about different people, so why can't it just be about me being someone different to the person that went before or after me. So I'm just going to be wandering around, probably looking bored and cold. When the whole plinth thing started, some lady produced a time scale of people's hour, and it's like, get up there, look excited, look around for the first 7 minutes or something, and then kind of kick their heels. And she went through all of it, and I thought, even when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, I bet that's me. So I fully anticipate that. But no, I mean, for a start, it's a bit like the going on the wall of death. It's a one in a lifetime thing. I mean, you're never going to be able to do it again. So I stood on a plinth in Trafalgar Square. So yeah, that'd be good. And the sun should be rising halfway through my stint, so that should be quite good. I actually feel more nervous now doing this interview. I've started to shake, and it's like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it now. Before, I was, as I say, I was more apprehensive, but we'll see after the hour.